Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. We are back here talking about Dancing with the Stars on Rob Has a Podcast. I am joined by my lovely co-host, Kelly Bedard. How are you doing, Kelly?
Hey, Angela. It's actually Bedard with a B.
Oh, no. I knew. You know what? It's better both ways. Now you have two last names.
Was it the Bachelor podcast? I was like, oh, I have to correct her. But then I forgot to correct you before we actually went on the air.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's totally fine. It happens all the time. But hi, how's it going?
I am doing well. I'm really excited to be here talking about this. I think that this is going to be a really juicy season, behind the scenes as well as on the dance floor. For those of you that were not present or didn't listen to our premiere podcast, we were joined by Mike Bloom, my lovely husband, to sort of go through the ranks of dancers for this season and tell everybody what we think of them. And so we did that. So if you hadn't had a chance to listen to that, please do, but you won't need it to listen to this either. So, definitely listen, but it's up to you.
It's a pretty good, I think we're so insightful. We're totally wrong about a couple people.
Like, oh my God, so wrong. Our takes were rough on some of these people, but you know what? I think we read the cards pretty well. I don't think we were like outside of the realm of like
it was really realistic. Only Chris Kattan was the only one
I didn't know so yeah wrong. So we'll get to it but there's a lot to break down here. So just a little heads up for everyone, we are just going to run through the dances for this first episode podcast. It's definitely a little meatier because it is the premiere, so they give you a lot of backstory as well, and we definitely want to dive into all of that. So let's just get right into it, dust off those dancing shoes, Kelly. So season 24 starts out as per usual with Tom Bergeroff just there telling us how it is. How do you like Tom? Is he a fan? Are you a fan of his?
I really don't like Tom.
Okay, good. We're there.
Oh, good. Okay, so you agree with me. I find, first of all, I hate his corny jokes, but I also he does this thing. He wastes a lot of time and then he blames other people for wasting time. And he did this, and I have an issue with his relationship with Bruno.
Doesn't like Bruno.
Yeah, and it's this very specific like quibble I have with the show, but he did it again this week. I don't remember
who he was so rude.
I don't remember what was happening, but it was that scene where Len was being way too hard on someone and the girls were sort of getting on Len's case and they were fighting and they were wasting a ton of time. And Bruno tried to break it up by like giving him the rose that Nick had given him. He was just trying to help. And Tom then scolded Bruno and said, "It's a live show, Bruno." And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, like Tom is like forcibly holding back Charo when she like tries to get to Bruno, like as if she were like gonna attack him or something. It was insane.
Do you think that was real? This is my question. Was she joking around or is she like, was she gonna attack Bruno? Because
I thought they were just like going playfully for each other. Like, I don't think that she was gonna attack him, but like Tom didn't want her to go over there because it would waste time.
Well, and Keo had to like forcibly restrain her. That was
insane. Hilarious. I'm obsessed with her. We'll get to that. But I think that we should definitely start out by talking about the opening number, which is always a showstopper. So they started out doing the cheesiest of I don't even know what it was supposed to be, but it was just like really awesome camera shots and just sort of
it kind of looked like the opening of La La Land for a second. But yeah, then it stopped really fast.
I don't even know what that we're terrible cinematographers. people, but I don't even know what it's called when
called a tracking shot.
Oh yeah, but, okay. Like, you're excellent cinematography person.
Well, thank you. That's film school right there.
Yeah, so they did this like tracking shot through all of the contestants, and there were a few times where like I didn't realize they were on the contestant and like only was looking at the pro. And then I was like, wait, was that a contestant? Like when they get to Chris Kattan and he's like backwards trying to do like the Saturday Night Live, like Night at the Roxbury head bob. And he's like, and I'm like, wait, who is that? Oh, okay. I get it now. But yeah, so I thought it was fun. I definitely thought it was super cheesy, but it always sucks me right in. I was literally rolling on the floor, dying of laughter when Nick was against the leftover piece of Bed of Roses from The Bachelor. Like they clearly just like rolled that from the final rose into the Dancing with the Stars studio.
You know what? At least it wasn't that terrible mansion backdrop where we had our like beginning of the Bachelorette.
Oh, I wish it was. Oh man. Did you have any fun takeaways?
I was just going to say, you've gotta love that Whitney Houston song. I love it so much.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it sucks you right in. You were like, yeah, I do want to dance with somebody. And I was like, now show me the people I want to dance with.
Yeah. I love the opening numbers, especially the pro numbers that make you want to get up and dance. Yeah. I feel like that's really the spirit of the show, is that sort of like person who sat at home and watched the show, then got the call and they were like, I don't really dance, but yeah, I'm gonna get up and dance. That's my favorite part. Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely felt like they sucked me in. I've said it before, I'll say it again, but I'm a sucker for TV. So it's like I'm the same way when it comes to like promotional marketing, things like that. Like they always get me. Anyway, let's jump right into it. But, you know, apart from Tom leading the show off with some cheesy jokes, we get right into a package about Naomi, Fifth Harmony.
Normani.
Honestly, like I'm going to call her Naomi a 5 million more times. They said it on the show and I was like, is it Naomi? Is it Naomi?
It's Normani. Like Normandy, yeah, like, but with no D.
I keep thinking it's Armani, but no, it's Normani.
That's a good way to remember. It's like Armani with a Nor.
But I feel like whenever I go to say it, it comes out Naomi. So sorry if you're listening to this. But she is partnered with Val, and they had a little fun little thing where they surprised her at a concert. And she got to figure out that it was Val there, and it was really exciting for her. Did you have any takeaways from her package?
So my main thing with her package was she talked about watching the show with her grandmother and her.
Oh my God, I know. I was like, LOL, me too.
I literally wrote down, I was like, Angela, do you think Normani's grandmother is a Derek Hough fan?
Yes.
They all are.
And do you think she is sad that she is not with Derek Hough?
Totally. And you know what? I feel like people, like the grandmas who love Derek Hough, actively don't like the Schmurkowski brothers. I think that's a rivalry.
They're his competition.
Well, they're not only his competition, but he's like a wholesome Utah boy and they're like sexy Russian men. And I just feel like
it's complete opposite.
Right. I feel like you can't be both. Although I am. I don't think most people, especially the grandmothers, can be both a Derek fan and a Val fan. So I think her grandmother is rooting against her because she's
She says her grandma keeps score, too. So we'll see. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I love Val. I think he's great. I think she's great. She seems really down to earth, really friendly. What kind of dance were they doing again? I can't remember off the top of my head. They were doing...
And the Wikipedia.
They were doing a quick step. I wrote them down for most of them. And then like for some reason for the first one, I did not write down that they were doing a quick step, which I should have known because.
Well, yeah, because the hardest one and they opened the show with it.
Yeah. And they talked about how she wasn't quick enough. And I was like, God, you're so harsh this season already.
Well, but one thing that they did talk about was it was when they went to get their scores and they were sort of doing the little chat with Aaron, which I always think is so awkward because Aaron is so awkward. But Val was sort of like making fun of her for being out of shape. And I was like, oh dear. So what we have, because
it was so awkward. Like clearly they don't have the chemistry that Val has had with his previous.
Yeah. Well, and because I think with Val, it usually comes down to like how much he respects them and their work ethic, because he's a work ethic guy. And he's gotten in trouble on social media before for like fat shaming stuff. And so I'm a little worried that he's like that kind of side of him is coming out if he's got someone who's maybe you know, she's thin and pretty and all that kind of stuff, but she doesn't actually have.
And she's curvy. She's definitely like a curvy lady. Like I wrote down several times, like, man, those hips, like she was like using them in the Quick Step and it was awesome. But
right.
I could see how that could get in the way.
That sort of like stamina and the athleticism of, he's coming off of Lori and Ginger worked incredibly hard. And so I think that he might maybe push her in a direction that might come off a little bit bullying, which I hate to say because I love him, but I'm a little bit worried about that with Val because I don't know how much respect he has for her work ethic.
Yeah, and she seems like a really like fiery personality, so she's probably not going to take that. So I hope we see some fireworks there.
Hopefully not. Although, remember a couple seasons ago he had Tamar, and Tamar,
oh my God, yes,
used to like talk back to him all the time and say
they used to like get into like legitimate fights, like in the like fist, like they would like hit each other.
Yeah, when they got like they were supposed to do a Mad Men dance and he was like, and you'll be my secretary. And she's like, why can't I be the boss? And he's like, because it's Mad Men. So he does not respond well to that, so we shall see. I feel like this could be a stormy couple.
I hope so. I'm excited. And I imagine it's a little bit cultural as well, that he just like is like, no, that's not the way it is. And we're not going to do it that way because I said so.
Yeah, that's true. What did you think of their scores? I, at the time, felt at the start of the episode, I felt like they were maybe a little low. But then as this episode went on, they were actually some of the highest that went out.
See, I actually, so I felt like they were pretty average. I feel like the first person always gets, you know, sevens, or I barely see them get eights, but I feel like a seven was pretty accurate. I mean, what Len had to say was correct in giving her a six. I mean, she needed more body contact, but he did say she committed. You know, they said that her footwork was a little messy, but you know, Carrie Ann and Bruno and Julianne were all about her being sexy. And, you know, they really didn't have much to say in regards to the Quick Step because it was so hard. But yeah, I agree. I think that they were on the lower end of the spectrum. So, but yeah, I thought they were pretty good for a first person out. I would say pretty average.
You don't want to go too high in the first episode because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah,
and this was a really high scoring bunch. Like, we got only one person. And I mean, this is standard, though, but nobody ever really goes below a five. We had one person get a couple, like three marks below a five, but that was it. And like, you've got to think these are grades out of 10. They should be more open to those really low numbers in the early weeks.
It's so weird. Yeah.
Not out of five. And these are all marks out of five.
And I felt like they were grading people on different scales. And this is something we got in our questions a little bit for this week, was that, you know, did so-and-so get graded on a different scale than everyone else? And I would say that's a yes. And I would say that Naomi is probably somebody who didn't get graded on a scale any differently. They probably were, you know, she's your average Dancing with the Stars contestant who's pretty good. You know, like, her first dance is just fine. I will say that we did ask Mike to give us scores for our dances, and we decided that we would also score the dances. I personally gave this a seven, and then Mike agreed with me. So moving forward, I will just give you my score, because whenever I would give my score, Mike would then meet that score. So did you have a personal score
before he adjusted to you?
Six.
Oh,
yeah. So he was like, oh, wait, am I being too mean? And I was like, you be whatever you want.
Guys, no,
it's too funny.
You have to follow your judging instincts. That said, I also picked seven.
Yeah, I felt like a seven is my like run of the mill score. Like, I feel like it's a little bit better than a six, but, you know, it's nothing like an eight.
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of sevens.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of figure eights.
Oh, that's so much better than speaking of seven.
All of it was good. Nancy Kerrigan, she's back. Her knees are intact.
I'm worried about it.
Wait, what are you worried about?
My winner pick.
Oh, you know what? She wasn't terrible. I really liked her. I thought she was good. I felt like she was your...
I've seen some reports of diva-like behavior.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
In all fairness, it was a little clickbaity. And the sentence in the article was literally amidst reports of diva-like behavior. So the reports themselves. So I don't really know what's going on. And that kind of thing is always like if somebody leaves the studio with a frown on their face, they're like, so and so storms out. But this was literally an article that they took a picture of her leaving the studio and then a picture of Artem leaving the studio, and they described their outfits, and then they said amidst reports of diva-like behavior on set. So I'm a little bit worried that she's maybe a little bit demanding, but I also think Artem's really demanding, and I think Artem's that insane. Can work through it.
First of all, can we backtrack and talk about how she found out that Artem was her partner, and that like he surprises her naked on a Zamboni? While she's rehearsing in an ice rink? First of all, doesn't Nancy Kerrigan still ice skate?
Yes, she absolutely still ice skates. Yeah. No, she absolutely
wasn't
does.
Completely staged.
Well, it was completely staged, but it was also based in fact.
I just like can't get over Artem just like shirtless, like sitting next to the janitor on the Zamboni.
Like, and was he shirtless?
I don't know.
Like, does he not trust that we know about his abs? Because that's the only thing I know about him.
Oh, I was going to say, honestly, like, I don't even know that much about him. Like, I remember him because his name is Artem, and I found that to be like exotic and fun, but he never makes it very far. So it's hard to just like, really have
pretty sure he was on season one of Dancing with the Stars not season one of Dancing with the Stars, season one of So You Think You Can Dance. I'm like pretty sure I have a very strong very strong memory of him dancing in an orange outfit.
A strong memory. I remember, so I watched season one of So You Think You Can Dance and then didn't watch another season again because it was just,
really,
I don't know. Oh, I just couldn't get on board with it.
Fascinating. So because like the backstory of half of these pros is from, I know, So You Think You Can Dance.
So I've read up on them and I've seen their like So You Think You Can Dance like routines and stuff, but I found it to be as like exhausting as something like The Voice can be, where it's just too much, too many episodes, too much content.
That's true. That's very true.
But yeah, so Nancy Kerrigan
was on So You Think You Can Dance. Aha, I win. Sorry, continue.
Nancy was on. I was like, no, she was not.
Okay,
so I guess like the premise of their little snapshot about Nancy is that she doesn't know what she signed up for and she's not as like competent as she used to be, but I'm glad that they do give her a Viennese waltz. I felt like they gave her a very forgiving ball dress where you could barely see her legs. So like she was able to hide a lot of stuff. So I did feel like she came across a very graceful, you know, her arms were super extended. You could tell that she like is athletic in the sense that she has some dance ability. But other than that, it was a little weird. That's all I could sort of take away from it.
You know what? I think she is going to improve a lot. There were a couple people in the first episode that I looked at and they were like really stiff and kind of uncomfortable. And I was like, you know what? I think those are the sort of people who are going to get more relaxed in front of the cameras and more used to the dancing and they'll improve. Whereas certain people, they just can't dance. But I think there were things that were sort of identifiably problems in the differences between skating and dancing. So like having to move your feet in every single step in order to move across the floor is a new concept for her, which is crazy because that's a normal concept for human beings, just walking. But for Nancy Kerrigan, she's not used to that. And so that's why I think she was like what Julianne said, where she's a little bit bouncy. I think that can sort itself out. Things like, I think it was Bruno who said something about the way that she points her toe. And I was thinking about it logistically and I was like, I'm pretty sure if she pointed her toe too much with a skate on, she would pierce her own ankle. So
he said extend and articulate through the foot. But he also said, there's nothing frozen about that dance. And I died.
I feel like it's best not to write down verbatim and what Bruno says.
No, I feel like it's absolutely necessary. I tried to take like pretty accurate notes because I was like, okay, it's the premiere, like we gotta be super prepared, right? And for Nancy Kerrigan, I got down that Julianne was sucking so many kneecaps She was just like obsessed with Nancy Kerrigan.
Well, she was probably her childhood idol or something, right?
Oh my God, I'm sure. Yeah, that's gotta be it. Cause like Nancy Kerrigan, like, I mean, she's cool and everything, but I don't think that she's my idol. That's for sure.
But if you were the right age, cause Julianne is, I think, like, she's around our age. She's like maybe 1 year older, and she's,
I'm looking it up right now.
I don't know. She's from Utah. I feel like she just would have. Yeah, had, I guess this, it's like that wholesome childhood that you looked, I love how we think, to these dancers.
Oh my God, she's exactly 28 years old. That was a crazy guess.
Yeah, I'm going she's shockingly young because she's one of the people like a Lindsay or a Whitney who started on Dancing with the Stars when she was like 19, and so she felt she's like a professional human being way longer than I was an adult, even though we're, oh my God,
it's upsetting now that I know that she's 28, like looking at her on this show, she like looks beautiful, she's, oh, like
she's so beautiful, it's insane, she's,
like,
it's
angering, when her hair is really long, it's like she's so stunning. Anyway, as Bruno would say, she's like a cashmere sweater.
The damn Huffs, eh?
The, yeah, Huff, they're great, family. I love them. Anyway, so what were the scores for Nancy? Hit
four
me
sevens.
Oh yeah.
Four sevens. And then I believe I gave her a shocker seven.
I think that I did as well. And I think that Mike, yeah, it says my notes say Mike rates a seven, I rate a seven.
Okay, but she got 1 point better than Normani. Do you think that that's fair? Or do you think that Normani went first and so we weren't quite sure what to do with our expectations?
Yeah. I think Normani went first, so nobody knew what to do, including the judges. And I think that Nancy probably should have scored a little lower because I think that she was a lot stiffer than Normani. Like, I thought she came across much more robotic. So,
well, I think this is tricky, and I found it tricky when doing my own marks because I ended up wanting to give people like half points and stuff.
Me too.
I was on the judging panel. I'm thinking, okay, so I think Nancy should get maybe 2 points less than Normani. But if I give her a six and everybody else thinks the same thing as me, then she's going to get four sixes, which is definitely not what she deserves. So you sort of almost have to do it in concert with each other, which is not the point.
So why don't we instigate our new rule for our Dancing with the Stars wrap up, that we are going to use a half point system.
Amazing. That makes it so much easier because I had so many like asterisk people on my list.
I remember when I first started, so I started with Normani and I tried to get my scores down before they got their scores. So with Normani, yes. I think I even put 6.5 and then I like remembered, oh, right. Like they don't do half points. So
you're right. The only one I have one person who is a something/something, but for the most part, everybody.
So when you get to that, you have to say it now because it's legit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving
anyway,
on.
So next this is an
disaster team.
Yeah. So I have a few things to talk about between the disaster theme, which are just things that I wrote down. So I wrote down that Tom made an interstitial comment where he said, this season is going to be cray cray and I die. I don't know if this was a thing in Canada, but in between this dance and the Chris Kattan dance, there was a Mr. T Fuse iced tea commercial.
Yes, I saw that too.
Did you see that? And I also died. And also we found out this is their 400th show.
Yes, which is so interesting because Survivor just had 500th. And so like, I feel like these are the only shows that have been on forever.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's like this in America.
Yeah, and like American Idol, but that just
American
ended.
Idol's gone, yeah.
I know. Oh, anyway, so that was all I had to say. Ever. I felt like those were really important points. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to introduce us to our next person.
Oh, this is so upsetting to me. I had such high hopes. One, because I think Whitney is overdue for a contender. Also,
she's a season 9 champion.
I didn't know Chris Kattan had this neck injury. Looking at him, it's a big game changer. Those shoulders are around, are like up near his ears. And you can
cannot move his neck.
He can't. And it's a disaster. Like, there's just no way. I'm calling him now as the first boot. Like,
yeah,
it's not without the knowledge of his neck injury, I really did think, like, considering Mango and, like, considering even Ned at the Roxbury, I thought he'd have some rhythm and he'd have some personality. But not only does he is he just incapable of dancing with that neck situation, but he's also he seems really uncomfortable. He seems really out of his element and kind of defensive. Yeah. Which if I couldn't dance because of an injury, I would be really defensive about all criticism as well.
Yeah, I mean, he also, I felt like he was really, really weird during the live portions of the evening. I mean, it was kind of fun because you did see him interact a lot with the male professionals. Like, him and Sasha seemed to be best buds, which I thought was really funny.
Well, but yeah, Sasha during the is nice.
Yeah, maybe.
They have a short boy club.
Yeah. And so I felt like even from the beginning opening segment where he was facing facing backwards and trying to do the head bop from Night at the Roxbury, I didn't know who it was. And that's because he wasn't doing it because he couldn't move his neck. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I felt like that made for a really rough number for him. I felt like they had a lot of backup dancers trying to distract. You know, they just sort of did the sketch Night at the Roxbury and like went into a rough version of a dance. I mean, I can't even say that it was a cha-cha, but that's what it was supposed to be. He did have a lot of fun though. I feel like he's like definitely like he went for it during the dance, whether or not he was, good or not. But the judges were real harsh. I gave it a 5, mostly for effort, and Mike gave it a 4. So we were both pretty accurate.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 as well. I was feeling that sort of thing we just discussed where all of the grades are between 5 and 10, that you don't really go below 5. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting those 4s.
Harsh.
Really, it should be a 4 though, right? Like, man.
Yeah, it was a bad dance. He's so stiff. He doesn't do any of the moves. He's super goofy. And even at one point, I think that Julianne was like offering actual critique, which was great. But then she comes at the end, she's like, be you, but like better. I was like, Julianne, that's a terrible thing to say. Be you, but better. Like, at first she started out trying not to like pile on Len's like super grumpy like behavior. And then she was like, be you, like, but better.
So
terrible.
This is a good place to discuss. How do you feel about Len?
So I loved Len. I feel like I love him because he's a part of the show. Like, I feel like I have like a sort of a nostalgic like feeling about him. But every time during the episode, I hate him. Like, he's America's over his gimmick of he's the harsh one because he's no longer harsh. Like, he gives like feedback that isn't like technically useful. Mm-hmm. So I think America's over that. So he really holds no purpose anymore. So when he is mean, it just comes across as mean. It doesn't come across as, you know, he's being harsh, but he's really accurate. Like, he's giving them good critique. You know, it doesn't come across as that anymore. It comes across as he's being like a grumpy old curmudgeon.
Yeah, I totally agree, except that I didn't watch the early seasons, so I don't have that same nostalgia.
Yeah,
like, I really, really dislike Len. I dislike Len more than I dislike Tom, and that's saying something.
That is saying something, because I don't feel that way because of the nostalgia factor.
Right, exactly. But I find him, and you're right, the clincher. It's not that, like, I don't mind the harsh judge. I love Simon Cowell, and I will still, like, I think he was the best judge in American Idol. I mean, before Harry Connick Jr.
And that's how Len was. So I feel like in this instance, it's hard to, you know, really come to terms with the fact that, like, he's not like that anymore. So I can see.
I don't remember that, but my main issue is that he's not constructive. Like, he's critical, but he's never constructive. And as goofy as Bruno is and as lightweight as Julianne sometimes can seem, both of them are really dedicated to, like, focused criticism. They say things like, watch your hands. This is what you should be doing instead. Julianne will demonstrate. Things like that. Like, I just think that they're very focused on.
Yeah, like, Carrie Ann is usually, like, the crazy one, especially if it's a guy.
Yeah, well, and it's, yeah, Carrie Ann will, like, goof around, but then Carrie Ann is also incredibly consistent, which is a thing Len isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Ann has her rules. You know, it's incredibly harsh, especially in the final weeks, to take off an entire point for someone's foot coming off the ground
because yeah, there's exactly.
no lifts in the waltz or whatever.
But she's all about that.
Incredible consistency, and that's really admirable. Whereas Len is just like, today I'm in a bad mood, so I hate you, but today I like you, and you tried really hard, so I'm going to be really nice to you. And it's yeah. totally arbitrary, and it's never helpful, and I just find him really negative. And my favorite judging panel is Carrie Ann, Julianne, Bruno, no Len.
Which is so funny to me because I just miss old Len. And it's, if old Len isn't coming back, that, not to say like old Len, like, you know what I mean, but if he's not coming back, then he shouldn't like stay. And I think yeah. that he's not going to be on very much because it sort of was hinted at that by Tom specifically that, you know, like, are you even on this season? Like a couple of times he would say stuff like that. So I don't think he's going to be on very much. So hopefully you can.
That's from the last two seasons he's been doing. I think it's Strictly Come Ballroom, like whatever the yes. British version of the mm-hmm. show is. He's been playing Strictly double duty.
Dancing,
so he's sort of
yes.
flown in here and there and done just a couple episodes. And
which
this season, actually, I thought it was that Tom was saying he's going to be there for every single episode.
Oh,
like, oh, well, that's the opposite of what I want. But at least I think now that they've added Julianne full time, that's like the clincher for me. I'll put up with Len as long as Julianne's there, because it yeah. really bothers me that Bruno will like try and play along and like play with Len, and Len just shuts him down, and Julianne will play with Bruno and she'll like
yeah.
you know, go into hold.
How
with
can
him
you not? He's so funny.
And she's a nice little buffer that I think protects Bruno's fragile yes, feelings.
For sure. And I felt like, you know, this dance was definitely graded correctly. But yeah, he was extremely, like, he didn't need to be that mean because, yeah. like, Chris knew he wasn't good.
Yeah, I mean,
even at the end, he was, like, the best thing about.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, he was just, at the end, he was like, the best thing about this is that I never have to watch myself dance again.
Yeah, that blew my mind. That was so brutal. But then, I mean, Bruno yeah. and Julianne gave him the same grades as Len did, but they didn't do yeah. it so cruelly. It's just, there's a exactly. way to do things.
Yeah, anyway, so moving on from the sad, sad case of Chris Kattan, our most likely first boot, we are moving on to our most likely to hook up this season.
It's great.
Bonner and Sharna. So I don't know about you, but I really didn't know much about Bonner other than, you know, the information that we pulled while we were doing research. So I felt like we got a pretty good indication about the kind of person he is, just as, you know, apart from his looks. You know, we found out that he had been in a bull riding accident that paralyzed him, which I didn't realize. I thought he just got a head injury, but it was paralyzed.
Oh, he was paralyzed for a day.
It's hard to come back from being paralyzed. Like,
for a day. He got his feeling back by the end of the day.
But it was probably very difficult to overcome that and get back on a bull.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
No,
I love him.
If you're the sort of you do? Oh, we're going to fight. So if you're the sort of person who rides bulls in the first place, I think.
No, yeah, that's not smart.
Right. You're the sort of person who gets yeah. back on a bull after a life threatening thing.
Yeah, that's not smart. But I will say that sort of stiffness that he had, I imagine, was difficult in the dancing. So I'm glad that he was able to pull through. So I was dying during this opening segment, though, because Sharna is clearly enchanted with Bonner. She's blushing so much. They're in love and it's all over the news. Discuss.
Wait, is it okay? So is it on all over the news, actually all over the news?
Yes, like all over. Like I saw articles today that were basically Sharna and Bonner, but mostly Sharna was coming out and saying like, just like, hey, everyone, like clearly we have chemistry. You know, it's going to be a great season, but, you know, we're both always professional. And like he's quoted as saying like, she's a beautiful woman, but, you know, she definitely drills me. Like she's all about teaching me the dances. Like they're trying to play it up that they're like not just like hooking up during their rehearsal time.
Are we sure that that's not them just getting in front of this whole hand situation?
Yeah, see, so that's the thing. I saw the article about them just having really good chemistry before I saw the article about the hand thing. So
I saw it in the middle of the episode before I saw
I didn't even see it. So for everyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, last night on the Dancing with the Stars premiere. During Nick Vile's dance, afterwards, he goes up to the skybox and they're giving out the scores, and they sort of pan over to Sharna and Bonner, who are just like hanging all over each other.
We're just sitting there.
Yeah. No, but they're like, their hands are around each other. They're like, they're hugging as they do. And so Bonner just sort of reaches around and like has his hand in front of the like crotchal region of Sharna's tiny little jean shorts, and she like pushes his hand away. So there's a bunch of memes flying around the internet. I'll tweet it out later, or Kelly will tweet it out later. But somebody definitely brought it to our attention as well. And we will discuss later. So that's what happened. What were your thoughts on that, Kelly?
Okay, so first of all, I want to shout out Brittany Larson Roberts.
Thank you. I was like, I know her name is Brittany, but I don't have her last name.
I record the episode and I watch it like an hour later, so that I'm basically just skipping the commercials.
Amazing.
And so I saw it on Twitter before I watched the episode, so that I was waiting for it in the episode, and it colored
everything.
Yeah,
see, that's the thing. I watched it live, so I missed it, but I'm pretty glad that it was brought to my attention. Right? I didn't expect something like this to come out of the first episode.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. My opinion on Sharna and Bonner is totally different from yours, which is very interesting.
Yeah, hit me with your alternative fact.
I think just kidding. That Sharna has a little bit of that Derek quality where she hasn't won, and she's starting to think about playing the game a little bit, because Derek always does this thing where he, no matter how he feels about his partner, he shapes their interactions in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah.
That present it in a way, we're great friends. No matter how we're actually feeling, we're great friends.
Or and we have some sort of chemistry.
Right. And like, that's less Derek's thing, just because like he's Derek. But Sharna, that's definitely her thing. Like, she's so sexy.
Yeah.
And so I think things like the turning to the camera and saying, I'm blushing, and like that kind of thing is her playing into that.
Oh,
and,
for sure. Yeah.
And
I don't think that he's making it hard for her, though.
No, I swear to God. So I was a huge, even though he's like engaged or whatever, I was shipping her and Hinchcliffe so hard last season. Wanted them to fall madly in love. I just thought they were so compatible and delightful, and like got each other in that delicious way.
Yeah, they definitely had a really good relationship. I mean, just like even off the cameras, I'm sure, like, because it clearly didn't come to that, but...
Well, he was like engaged to his childhood sweetheart of like 20 years or something. So,
which just like changes things.
It does. And but I just decided I didn't care about her and was just like shipping them really hard. But so, and I just sure.
It's entertainment.
Exactly. But watching the difference in chemistry, I really think that Bonner, first of all, I don't consider Bonner that attractive. He's just like not doing it for me. So that colors things a little bit. First
to
of
each
all,
their own.
He's just not. I don't do monosyllabic. That's just very.
Oh yeah, no. That's. I mean, he's just really pretty, and like he has like that country cowboy charm. But no, I would never actually date him.
I don't know. I completely don't see it. Like, I recognize that he has abs, but like, this is Dancing with the Stars. You're standing in this crowd of pros.
Yeah, it's true. Just so many abs,
and they all have personalities, and I just don't like his face that much. And there's just, to me, there's nothing appealing about Bonner. And then the monosyllabic thing really gets to me. So I don't even see it
because I'm just obsessed with Sharna. So I feel like whenever she's like putting her attention on another man, like, it makes him that much more attractive to me.
I'm saying I don't think it's real. Like, I'm saying that
I'm sure it's
that angle that the producers and Sharna have decided to go with for this
guy.
And they're leaning into it, and they're shooting all of, like, that's what the edit is suggesting.
And you know what? I'm into that, because I feel like sometimes it becomes a very surface level relationship. So I'd rather them show me a fake, like, game, like a, not fake, but like a game savvy professional than somebody who like is just like going through the motions. You know, I kind of like that there's like some strategy in there, but, you know, I don't know.
I guess, but I'm a real sucker for, like, I really want to be able to see people clearly. And so when I feel right. like they're lying to me and the edit's trying to tell me something, like, I'm really sensitive to edits and I tend to, like, go the other yeah. way. If I feel like the edit's trying to make me like someone, I automatically don't like them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can see that. Like Scott yeah. and Jason. I don't like Ty. I'm sorry. That sort of thing. So, like, I felt like that watching their package. I was like, this is fake. He's not very appealing. She's just decided that this is going to be their angle this year, which you've seen yeah. in the past. This has happened with a couple different couples over the years. Yeah. There was a guy who was on, like, Pretty Little Liars or something, who I was pretty sure was gay, but the angle that they decided to go with, I think it was with, he was with PETA, was mm-hmm. the same angle. And I was like, what is happening? So this
is my thing, I guess. Too.
And then yeah. on top of that, this, like, hand thing I thought was incredibly revealing, because first of all, like, if you watch the pros are always teaching the stars that, like, this is how dancers stand with each other. We, like, are connected. Yeah. We're very touchy. And that's a thing you can see them teaching them over the weeks. And so she was just, like, sitting there and went to, like, put his arm around her waist in that normal, like, this is what we do way.
Yeah.
And he crept down her thigh and into her inner thigh and onto her crotch. And she immediately moved him.
She was like, nope.
In a way that, honestly, I don't even think it was a camera awareness thing. I think it felt to me like I don't want your hand there. And I don't want your hand anywhere near me, in a way that, like, totally supports my theory that she has, like, yeah. zero interest in him sexually.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, so I can see all of this. I totally get it. Like, it's like, you don't want people, but you don't want people, like, pretending like they're not who they are. I think that for me, I'm just very, very used to watching ABC channel reality TV shows. Mm-hmm. And they're all, like, produced in this, like, sort of, like, we know the audience knows that this is fake, so we're just going to amp it up and you guys are just going to be on board with it. So I just sort of am always under the impression that it's all fake, but, like, I kind of like when they play into it a little. Like, it's kind of cheeky when she's like, oh, I'm blushing, you know. So I think it's more in jest than anything. But yeah, that incident with the crotch was, like, one toe over the line for Sharna. She was like, no, like, like, we can pretend to be in love and we can pretend to, like, have chemistry, but, like, we are not pretending that you are putting your hand on my pants on live TV. but yeah, so, I mean, I think that there was a lot of just sort of getting to their dance. Clearly, they went with a country sort of cha-cha, which is the way to go. That was, like, props on you, Sharna. If you have, like, a bull rider, just, like, amp it up for the first one. So he was just hip actioning everywhere, which I did love. I think that was really funny, especially when Bruno talks about it later. But I felt like there wasn't a lot of content. Like, there wasn't a lot of cha-cha. It was just a lot of smoke machines and hip thrusting. But, I mean, he seemed like he was doing all right. I think that my score of a 6 and Mike's score of a 6 was pretty accurate. What did you score this dance?
I gave it also a 6, but yeah. I said that there's zero chemistry, especially now, but after Hinch. Pass.
I sort of want them to keep the chemistry up, if only for me to watch, like, Bruno die. Like, I feel like, you know, Bruno is just, like, objectifying Bonner to, like, the highest extent, and I find it very entertaining. Julianne Hough was like, simmer down, girl. She was like, I love a country boy, and it was like, oh.
She used to be engaged to a country singer.
Yeah, I know, and she's definitely, like, clearly the type that, like, loves the country boys, so, yeah. I would love to hear your take on how many times Bonner will appear without a shirt this season.
Well, I'm hoping he goes home incredibly quickly. So
I wouldn't count on it.
Other than every week until he goes home, we're at least going to see some sort of, like, open shirt. And he's also the guy in, like, team dance week who's going to do that thing where he gets really competitive with yes. Val about what their chests yes. look like. Like, he's totally that guy.
Actually, 100%. That's such a spot on answer, because he'll be there. which is annoying.
No, going home. He has to go home for like feminism or something.
Speaking of someone who's going home soon. I know. So sad. But we're going to talk about Charo next and her partner, Keo. So they had a kind of a fun.
I thought she was better than I was expecting.
Oh, same. But honestly. I think they also gave her a very, very good dance for her to sort of emphasize her assets and not really flounder too much, which was, I think, really nice of them.
How did you feel about Keto's pink and yellow sleeves?
I mean, I loved his outfit. I felt like it didn't fit him at all, and that was hilarious. Like, they clearly didn't have pants long enough, so they had to, like, add an extra ruffle on the bottom.
Keo has a real struggle on this show.
He really, really does, and he doesn't have a personality. Like, I don't know if it's just because he doesn't like to talk or he's shy, but, like, I feel like I never get a good understanding of what he is about.
Yeah, well, I also think that he's been hurt by the edit before. Like last year,
for sure.
Anytime he has some sort of like temper thing happen, they show it when they wouldn't show it for like a fan favorite. Yeah. So I think he's extra careful because he knows that the producers aren't necessarily on his side.
Mm-hmm. And so from the moment that Charo is hiding inside a present and pops out and literally gives Keo a heart attack, we need to get a medic out there stat because she needs a tranquilizer. She is on crack.
Crazy.
She was so crazy.
I've never seen her before. Like, is she this crazy?
No, yeah, she's like kooky. That's like her thing. She's kind of like,
that was crazy.
Yeah, so this was out of the ordinary. So she's similar in my opinion. I don't know if you're familiar with Betsy Johnson as like a person or a personality. But
only
she's
vaguely.
Yeah, so she's kind of like this. Like Cyndi Lauper's kind of like this in her old age. Like they're just like very like fun and kooky and like older women. But Charo took it to like another level tonight. She was going insane. And I feel like it was really kind of enigmatic and it was like addictive and it was like really like I really wanted to be there with her, but at the same time it was kind of scary.
Yeah,
it was like kind of scary. Like if I was watching from
anywhere near Charo ever.
Oh my god.
Oh, she's also, I gotta say, it's really hard to understand her.
Yeah, that was my next
consistency.
Yeah, no, she definitely has a lot of freakouts where she's not really saying anything specific, where she's just making noises, especially when they're talking to the judges. And then Bruno, I think, starts to speak to her in Spanish. So they start speaking to each other and they're basically twins. Like they're going at each other. They're ready to like hug each other and like smother each other in their love. And this is when Tom has to hold Bruno back, hold Charo back. He's restraining her. It's like, it was a lot.
Which ended up wasting more time than if he just let her go.
Such a time waster. Yeah, for sure.
I kind of assumed she was going to attack him because otherwise I didn't know why she was being restrained.
Yeah, just because I guess they were like, didn't want her to like waste time. But I mean, what did you think about the dance? Like, because you said that you felt that she had, that she did a pretty good job dancing to Cuban Pete.
I was expecting her to be like Mr. T. Like I was expecting her to sort of stomp around and not really know anything.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really reasonable. That was me basing an assumption on her age, really, and not thinking about like, oh, wait, no, she was like a Latin singer. She should be able to do it like Latin dances. So she was a little bit better than I expected. She does have a little bit of an advantage for someone her age in the sort of Latin sphere. But that said, I mean, you know, 2 weeks, maybe it depends how much patience the viewers have for her. And I don't think they will have
like that was enough for me. Like I got what I needed out of Charo for this season in that like she was crazy. And I felt like that was awesome. But like, I don't think that like when they get into these more like specifically themed dances where I want to see the dance and I want to see the content, like I'm going to really want to see
Charo
her.
Is go not going to be able to do a Viennese waltz. Like it's just never going to happen.
She'll just have to stand on Kia's feet.
Well, and also Keo, again, we talked about this in the preview. Keo's not one of the more popular dancers. I mean, it's not that he's unpopular, like he is with the producers, but he's not going to bring in extra votes. Whereas her main competition, to jump ahead a little bit, we had talked about her main competition being David Ross and Mr. T. Two huge surprises, I thought, and in terms of one dancing and two personality, Mr. T really brought it in terms of likability factor.
Yeah.
And I found Charo really annoying. And so I could see her being Chris will probably go before her, but I could see her being number two.
Yeah. I think that people will just forget about her when they're voting, honestly. I mean, I think that likability isn't going to be as big of an issue, for people that know her. So I think that if that was the first instance of Charo that I got, I would hate her as well. but I have a very fond, memory of Charo as a little girl. Like, I feel like I, saw her on, these variety shows and stuff like that. And she was always really fun. And she was so, so pretty. And I will say, I mean, I hate to, talk about someone's facial appearance, but she's clearly had some work done.
Because she's totally expressionless and you can't really see anything.
So that was really the point I was going to make with that. Do whatever you want to your face, but it was hard to sort of get what she was feeling other than ecstatic excitement. So I'm excited to see what happens. I'm curious. I don't have a lot of faith that she'll go far, but if she's here for another week or two, it won't be terrible. It'll be at least a little entertaining. Anyway, coming up is the star of the evening. Just kidding. It's Nick and PETA. That was a great transition. I don't know if you noticed.
I've got to say, Nick, in my opinion, is notorious for having some of the worst edits in reality TV history.
I'm pretty bad
playing the game with the Bachelor producers. This year he was clearly their puppet, but before that, and it's because he learned from the past, because he is someone who has always been, if he does two things, they're going to keep in the one that shows him in a negative light and cut out the thing that makes him charming and fun. This is the best edit Nick Viles ever gotten in his entire life. He was
so in love with him
and so charming and so just maximum positive Nick in a way we've literally never seen. Always liked him because I felt like I could see sort of through the edit. But we didn't get this amount of personality from him ever.
And even in Andy's season, when he was when I first started to like him, I felt like he came across very normal and very down to earth and very Midwestern, but he never came, clearly all of these girls are obsessed with him on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. And they're always saying how funny he is and how easy he is to get along with. And this 4-minute segment, I got it. I understand. I also love you, Nick Vile. Which is to say a lot, because I do think there's been a lot of shade thrown at Nick over the past couple years. So,
and I found this really validating, because this was the stuff that I knew, I just in my heart knew, was on the cutting room floor. We saw enough glimmers of it that I knew it was there, and to see them keep it, because even in his positive edit Bachelor season, one of the reasons I kind of found the season entertaining was that they kept in all of his line flubs. He's famous for saying the wrong thing, the wrong way. And on The Bachelor, you have multiple takes. And so, Sean Lowe, who got the world's best edit, would get multiple takes to say exactly what he meant exactly the right way. And Nick, they would keep it in all the time. And I thought that was really funny, but it was also them. It was because they were dealing with someone they'd given a villain edit to. And here it was just maximum positive. And I thought that was so great to see and so validating for me, in my opinion. Yeah,
I agree. And I feel like he was poking fun at himself in a way that he wasn't doing on The Bachelor. Whereas before, he on The Bachelor this season, he did poke a lot of fun at himself, being I've been through this before. But this, he was just poking fun at the Bachelor as a unit. He was handing Bruno the rose. He was really leaning into the whole thing without it being like cheesy. Cause like when and Chris Soules was on, so cheesy.
Well, Chris, I mean, Chris Soules was, had got, has got to be the least interesting man in the history of the world. Right?
Correct.
Like, there was no reason.
Not
why
a hot take.
I know, right? There was no reason he should have been given the Dancing with the Stars because theoretically you want someone with a personality. And yeah. Something I thought was really interesting was when PETA was like, we're going to make you the best bachelor ever on the show. And Nick said, I think we can aim a little higher than that.
I wrote that too. I wrote that down too. I was like, spot on, Nick.
I mean, personality wise, he's really only competing with Sean. Sean was a really, really bad dancer, and wasn't actually that because his situation with PETA and Catherine was so fraught. It wasn't, he didn't really come off as charming as he actually is on that show. Whereas Nick, his personality is absolutely going to beat both of those people. But also, he's pretty like, good dancer.
He was amazing. I was jaw to the floor, just like, I will give you my final rose, Nick, for dancing.
Especially because based on the amount of rhythm we saw when he went to that black church with Rachel. Like, that was not promising. Yeah.
Although during the Backstreet Boys. Yeah, and during the Backstreet Boys. Yeah, so I feel like that's kind of what they did. Like, even when they gave them, so I thought he was going to get sevens, and you know, this is sort of a spoiler. He got all sixes.
Yeah,
Mike and I both rated him eights because we felt like he was a 7.5.
Okay, fair. Yeah. See, I did the same thing. I was like, I gave him sevens, and I was just like, well, but I feel like he was a little bit better than Nancy. But this is where I wanted to give him a 7.5, but I wasn't going to do halves, and I didn't feel I could go to 8 yet.
Yeah, I was like writing in my notes too. I wrote like, the fog is amazing. I like this setup. Oh my God, he's really good. PETA's the bomb. Nick for the win. Like, I went insane. Like, I don't know what happened. I'm like reading my notes like as if a crazy person wrote them. I think I was just so surprised. And then I was even more surprised about, you know, their reactions to him. I mean, I thought that they were going to just like, be like, you're really amazing, like, we love your personality, and they were all technical. And then Bruno says that he looked like a pop icon and acted like a pop icon. I think that's where the Backstreet Boys like dance ability comes in. Like, he clearly has that like modern dance sensibility. So I'm really rooting for him.
Yeah, right. I'm so glad you've come around. I got a little worried after the Bachelor podcast where you were like, Callie really likes Nick and I don't get it. And everybody laughed. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to be alone on Nick Island.
Oh my God.
I'm glad you're on board.
Wait, I said that I thought you didn't like Nick.
No, you didn't.
Oh.
I love Nick. You know this. We talked about it in the
That's so funny because I thought you said you didn't like Nick. So I was like, we're going to be fighting because she says she doesn't like Nick. And like, so
no,
this is great. I feel so much better about my life now.
I definitely love him, and I've loved him from the beginning.
I'm
not
going to
listen
to myself, Kelly.
I know, right? I wrote a really long article after Andy's season called just Villain Edit that was sort of about like the villain edit in reality TV history, and I talk about like Frankie Grande, and I talk about...
Frankie Grande.
Coming off of, I talked about like
he went to my college. Did you know that?
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah. He's like, I know a lot of people that know him, and it's all true.
Oh my God, that's amazing. But I like, so I talked about all these people sort of across reality shows, and it was mostly about Nick because I've loved him forever. Anyway, I'm glad we're all on board with our love of PETA and Nick.
Sigh of relief. Anyway,
but I do have to say PETA here, because to go into the next thing, PETA did mention in their rehearsals that I found very surprising, but then the show acknowledged it, or Heather acknowledged it herself, where they literally called out the fact that she was Beyonce's backup dancer. Were you surprised that they were so forthright with that information?
No, I think that they're leaning into it at this point. I think that when they announced it, they sort of waited to see what the feedback would be. And then they're leaning into it. They're just like, yep, she's a dancer, but she's
also
a mom now.
All sevens for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. So just to wrap up on Nick and PETA, they got all sixes. No, it's okay. It's like, I think we already said it. They got all sixes. He got a lot of technical feedback. We're rooting for him. Aaron Andrews says he is wearing a lot of bronzer, which I like.
Well, he is, but he
is.
You know, I heard somewhere.
And he should be.
And
he's
this
pale.
Might be one of those things that my mom told me that she made up, but she said she read somewhere. But I'm pretty sure she told me. That one of the reasons, because people always joke about like the spray tan on Dancing with the Stars, but someone said that it's it makes them feel less naked when they're wearing these, like, especially the women, they're wearing these really tiny things. And it feels like you just, like, have a layer of something in between you and, like the camera and your cellulite light and stuff, right? It just creates
some separation.
Just like having wearing a lot of makeup gives you that sort of feeling of, it's not really clothing, but it almost feels like armor somehow. I read that somewhere, or my mother told me or something like that, but I'm not sure if it's true.
I also think we need to totally drop a pin in this and come back to it later, that your mom tells you things that you think might be made up. I think that's really funny.
She once told me she was so sure. She's like, Kelly, did you know Bernadette Peters died? And Bernadette Peters, by the way, is fine. She's alive and well and doing great. And this was 10
that's
years
hilarious.
Ago. So she's still alive. And she was so sure, and she had dreamed it. It turned out that she had a dream that Bernadette Peters died, and then told me with great authority that she'd read in the newspaper or something.
That's hilarious. Oh my God, so funny.
All the time.
That's great. When I was in, this is a bronzer story, but when I was in eighth grade in high school, our high school had eighth grade in it, and I was cast in the drama club production of West Side Story. But because I was a dancer, I was cast as a shark. Uh-oh. And I don't know if anybody has seen pictures of me, but I am literally the color of paper. I could not be more pale, and I don't tan. I burn, and then I turn pale again, and I have really dark hair, so I look really even more pale. So they would just line me up and this other girl in the back, and they would have us put our arms out, and they would cover us in bronzer.
No.
So I feel like I've been where Nick's been.
Oh, but that's awkward fake Puerto Rican nonsense too. Oh, that's really
for sure. I can't. What year was this? I mean, I graduated high school in 2007, so eighth grade, four years removed. That's not that long ago. But I mean, we were a small white bread town, so what are you gonna do?
Yeah, West Side Story always ends up
always
with
whitewashed,
awkward,
unfortunately.
Stuff happening. Yeah. Anyway, we should move on to Heather and Max. Speaking of people who are dancers.
Well, it's good transo.
Right. Expert.
I'm excited. I was so stoked to see her, and I was a little let down by just the reaction by the judges. I think that's my big takeaway, was that I am obsessed with Heather Morris. I don't know if you've ever seen the Glee live in concert event.
No, I haven't.
Shocking. But for some reason,
I will say I've seen every episode of Glee. Not voluntarily. Yeah. It's just once I start, I can't stop. And I started, I don't know why.
I actually had to stop watching because it would make me angry. I was getting angry.
It made me so angry all the time.
I couldn't watch anymore. Mike was like, I'm going to watch Glee. And I was like, no, I can't watch Glee. A monster would come out.
It was incredibly angering. But Ryan Murphy has such an incredible casting eye.
Oh,
yeah. At a certain point, I was just so loyal to certain cast members that I was like, well, I have to see. Darren Criss worked so hard on this, so I have to watch. Yeah.
And I was like, and I love Darren Criss from a Harry Potter musical. I really have to,
I loved Amber Riley, and I don't even know Tana's name, and there were tons of people, and so anyway.
And so I always felt like Heather was not only they always talk about how she was cast as a dancer, not a singer, and had to learn how to sing, but I didn't even care that she couldn't sing. Her dancing was so addictive. As I was saying, watched the Glee Live in Concert DVD. I rented it from a Redbox. I paid $1.50. But it was honestly it was really fun to watch because it was kind of a behind the scenes, as if their Glee characters were in concert, not the actors. But they do this song, Valerie. And because her and what's her face that plays the girlfriend are
Santana's name. I'm going to look up Santana's name when you tell the story.
Naya something. Naya
Rivera.
Yeah. So she and her are singing, and Heather Morris plays a really avid part in the dance. And they do this really, really elaborate choreography. And it had me hooked. And so from that moment on, I've just been obsessed with Heather Morris and watching YouTube videos of her doing backflips into things. So I love her. I think she's great. But yeah, they definitely, they leaned into it super hard that she's a backup dancer for Beyonce, but they made sure to say, but she's a mom now and she hasn't been dancing since Glee. So this is her chance to get back into it.
Oh, that and was Julianne there, like, did her whole, it's so different learning to ballroom dance.
Oh my God.
Like, okay, relax, Julianne. That's
like, is
not
it
really
that different
true.
Than like playing baseball? No, it's the, basically it's the not, same if you compare the two.
Exactly. It's not that different. It's, yes, it's different, like on So You Think You Can Dance, when a hip hop dancer has to learn the foxtrot, that's difficult.
Yes.
But that's because they're a hip hop dancer, first of all. They're not a trained contemporary dancer. But the trained contemporary dancers can always pick up ballroom really easily. Yes, it's different.
Yeah, it's going to take time, but they're not going to be terrible at it. And her extensions in her arms and her legs and just the way she moved her body, it was spot on. It was beautiful. And I was so pissed. Mike and I were like 8.5, 9. And then they came out with their 7s and I almost threw up.
Yeah, the 7s felt like they were instructed or they had sort of a pre-show agreement to mark her down, which felt really unfair. That said, I gave her an 8 because you're right. Like all the things, like her extensions are amazing. Like she's clearly a dancer.
This is reasonable.
This was like a top 4 kind of dance, like maybe not the finals, but like semifinals level.
Yeah.
Dance.
Like this was like she's made it all the way through the competition. And this is like getting to the end.
That said, I will say I thought it was shockingly boring.
Like, yeah, it was boring. They were playing it safe for sure.
But not just the dance. But I also think that she, and maybe it's because she's on her heels because she's gotten so much criticism and she's really like feeling awkward about being there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she really is this boring. I hate to say it to you, but she had no personality and she was just like sidestepping every question. And then she let Max totally railroad everything, which if you let him do that, he will do that. And then all of your interstitials with Aaron are going to be all about how Max and Aaron used to be partners and they had great chemistry and they're going to banter. And then Max is going to say like horrible, like, I want votes because my kid is cute and like saying I love you to PETA on the air when she's right there. You could go say you did a great job if you wanted to, if you actually wanted your fiance
you didn't,
to know that.
It's like he wanted the credit. Somebody.
He wanted, to, so he wanted us to know that he's a nice guy. And like Max drives me so crazy that I came away from the segment being like, Heather Morris danced really well, but she was just like a blonde yellow dress, like nothing standing next to this railroading guy. You just drove me crazy.
And I did notice that like through the critique, Len was saying that they're very accomplished together. They're both great dancers. They're a match made in heaven. Julianne was like trying to play up that she doesn't know ballroom, so she's on the same level as the others. And Bruno was obsessed with them. And then Carrie M was like, you guys did great. Like, clearly your lines are amazing, but you're hiding your personality. And that was Carrie Ann's big takeaway was, I felt like I got to know everybody that's danced so far through their dance, and I don't feel like I got to know you.
She's
so
a
I'm
wise
hoping
woman, Carrie Ann.
She is wise and crazy. I'm hoping that she sort of takes that to heart and comes back next week with, you know, like a little bit more personality in her dance and just a little bit more to give to the audience, at least on the dance floor. I mean, if she's going to let Max like talk over her during these interstitials, like whatever, people love Max, but just come to the dance floor and like really give it. That's hopefully what will happen. I feel like I think she'll make it pretty far, but that's because she's my winner pick.
I think she might be. Do you remember a couple years ago, Christina Milian was with Mark Ballas and she was considered like a slam dunk finalist, obviously.
Yes.
And then she went home in like the fourth week.
Yes.
I could see.
It could be that.
Because it's such a strong group of women, especially.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Heather being this sort of weird anomaly. Totally unfair because she obviously should fast forward to the finals based on dance ability. But like if she doesn't fix the personality thing, like if she might really be a very guarded person. And if you think about it, what we know of her personality, I think is actually us conflating her personality with Britney. And that's necessarily
just not true.
Right. Like that's not who she is. She's clearly smarter than that, hopefully. So I wonder if she can't fix the personality thing, if Max you sort of ends up rubbing people the wrong way, I could see her being a weird anomaly mid-season casualty.
Yeah, they'll have to work together a little bit more, I think, her and Max, because people do really love Max. You know, I think that he can come across very fun and lighthearted, and he can come across as like a real tool. So I think that if they work together to like amp him up in a nice way and amp her up in a more like personable way, then it'll work out. But, you know, hopefully it works out. Hopefully we see her again soon. Moving on to our next couple, though, somebody who did surprise us.
Oh, my God. Shocking. Shocking.
This was really shocking. Yeah. So this is David Ross and Lindsay Arnold. We were really, really high on Lindsay, you know, as somebody that is a great professional to work with, somebody that we haven't seen a lot of, but that we could see doing really well with somebody if she was given the right person. But we did not think that that person was David Ross.
Well, first of all, I'm really surprised that his knees are in such good condition. As a catcher, I was really expecting
that was something that you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I was think expecting that.
And he did come across quite personable. I had no idea.
Another hot take from my mother. So
good, hit me.
My mother also, she listened to the preview and she was saying, "Oh, David Ross is actually," because I didn't pay any attention to the Cubs stuff, but my uncles are really into the Cubs, so my mom knows a lot because of them. And she's like, "He was one of the like clubhouse leaders, really, really nice. He's going to be a fan favorite personality." And now I didn't see that much personality from him, but I saw some. And my mom's standout personality and like hilarious and all this stuff.
I could see him really hitting it home with the mom demographic. Like he is, what do you say? He's like 59. Is that right? No, that's too old.
No, that's way too old to play baseball.
39? I feel like it's 39. I feel like there's a 9 in there. Either way, he came across really, really humorous. He definitely knows that this is not his skill, but he's like, you know what? I'm doing this to show my kids that they can do anything if they set their minds to it. And you know what? I'm going to give it my all.
And I feel it's like okay to do something you're not good at. I wrote that down. God. I thought that was so lovely.
Yeah. And I feel like he just really melded well with Lindsay too. She was very upbeat and they were both very bubbly. Mm-hmm. And the dance was good. I felt like he wasn't a spaz, but he wasn't amazing with the technical work. You know, I scored him a 6, you know, not too far off from the 7s. I think they upscored him a little bit just because of his personality. And then we get this. Yeah. And then we get this. I got this stellar quote from the amazing Mike Bloom. In what universe do he and Heather get the same votes?
Yeah. Like, well, and that's the thing. You're absolutely right. He got a boost. I gave him a 7 as well, but I also gave Heather an 8. So they weren't the same. But like,
right,
he definitely, because of expectations, was given higher marks and she was definitely underscored dramatically.
Yeah. It's like if you're not going to give her 8, then you need to give him a 6.
Well, except that then you have to go all the way back through the list, right? Because like,
yes.
was he worse than Nancy? And she got all 7.
Yeah, I don't.
Right?
Yeah,
it's tricky. I mean, I think Heather is the one who was scored the most wrong.
Yeah, and that's probably right.
Feel wrong, but if you fix her, a lot of stuff goes back into space that it's supposed to be in.
He was good. I really liked him. I felt like I didn't have a ton to say on him, but I enjoyed him.
I gotta say, he's definitely not a first boot, which was, I'm totally wrong. Both of my winner pick and my first boot were just
it's fine. We're all wrong. Me and Mike just totally like flailed on that. But no, I will say that their outfits.
I think he's gonna take it.
I do too. He's the worst. He's always right. Don't tell him I said that. Universe.
It's definitely rap. Been recorded. It's definitely not going out on the internet. So don't worry.
Definitely not. No, it's just us gals chatting about dancing.
Yeah, it's fine. I will say that Lindsay is like the queen of faking enthusiasm. Like there is no way she knows who this guy is. No way she's excited to get an old guy. No way she's excited to have a baseball player who like promises to be quite stiff and stuff. But she can like clap and smile like a cheerleader.
I like her.
It's amazing.
And I don't know if it's disingenuous either. I think she genuinely is like fine. Like she's like, I don't like clearly she would want like some young, like really good dancer, but she's like, you know what? This is great. And like, she just goes nuts.
And as long as he has also a good their personality, because she's had some guys in the past, like that guy had the worst, like he was so much attitude and he spent the whole time talking about how hot Emma was, which like fair, but still.
I love Emma. I was going to say they had the cutest outfits though, I will say. And well, the lighting.
His little Cubs costume. Yeah, but Cubs uniform.
I mean, it was a costume. It had glitter on it. I loved her half bun hair.
Did you see that he almost cried when he saw his old teammates?
Oh,
that was
my God. Yeah. When they were on the TV, that was a lot for me. Her little crop top was like killer. Like she looked so cute.
Yeah. You got to love like baseball uniforms turned into like cute girl stuff.
I enjoy that. I enjoy that. And I felt like the light, this is sort of like ongoing throughout the episode, but I felt like the lighting design was really awesome this season. Like even when Nick...
Yeah.
Like even when Nick was dancing, there were these like bright green lines that they were like dancing through. And then with this, there was like a baseball tee just like on the floor, or a baseball diamond, which I felt like was really cool.
Who had the like sea of like fog?
Was that Nick? I feel like he had a lot of fog.
It might have been Nick. Somebody was dancing on just like a floor full of fog and it was amazing.
I feel like it was Nick because I did write down like, wow, that's a lot of smoke. anyway, transitioning to somebody who we both just said we love. This is Emma and Rashad.
We're like, we skipped Erica and Gleb.
Oh no.
You can't miss Gleb. Okay. I'm just looking at the only way I know we skipped them is because I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now and we have to talk about someone, I don't know who says it, but somebody said on the show that they're dancing to her song, Expensive. That sounds, a little silly, but whatever. Expensive is spelt XXPEN $IVE.
So, okay. So this is actually crazy that I skipped this because this was like when I wanted to throw like something at the TV because I just scrolled down. I must have scrolled down past it to Emma because I didn't want to talk about how much I hate them.
Well, I hate Cleb in general, but he's going to get a Lamborghini if they win.
Oh my God. I almost died.
I love that. I love that. Like, yeah, I'll give it to you. But like, I was expecting, do you remember, I think it was, what's her name? Kim Richards is her name.
Yeah.
The woman who was like, so bad, and then she was medically, I was gonna say evacuated, but she was like,
yeah, she wasn't good, but eliminated. she was just like a Real Housewives, whereas Erica Jane, I didn't know this about Erica Jane, but apparently she had Erica Jane as her pop star name, and her name in, I didn't write it down, but her name in real life is something else. Oh, it's Erica,
it's like Girardi or something.
Yeah, it's not Girardi. Good guess. But yeah, I definitely think it's like something very plain. But yeah, Erica Jane is her pop star name.
It's literally Girardi.
That's hilarious. I thought you were talking about Gia Dice, that lady. Who's another housewife that I know nothing about.
I literally don't know who that is. But Erica Girardi is
her name. But so Erica Jane is the pop star version. So she says that when she's Erica Jane, she's performing and that's her stage character and that her stage character is a unicorn. She's crazy. She's glittery. So basically she's like taking the idea of Lady Gaga and like trashing it up and throwing like some cleavage on it. Like, that's what I got from Erica Jane.
I didn't think she was that bad. I mean, like, her personality is obviously vile, but I didn't think her dancing was that bad.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about her personality now.
Oh, yeah, no, she's the worst person ever, except for Gleb, who is so much worse.
Gleb is so, his name alone, it just, like, inspires, like, hatred in me. And I don't know why.
Gleb's the worst.
It's just Gleb.
The worst. And, like, Anna Kramer, but, like, she couldn't convince me to like Gleb.
No. But yeah, so I felt like the dance was fine. The unicorn on the stage was insanity, and I'm not shocked that that was Gleb's idea. I felt like that was very clearly like so strange. But I did feel like the dance was fine, but it was a little porny. Like, I felt like it was a little, like, they kept saying raunchy.
Always porny, though.
Yeah, like, and partnering with Erica Jane.
The shower dance.
Oh my god, yes.
He's the porniest pro dancer.
Yeah, so it was a very sexy salsa. And I felt like Len's commentary where he says it was confident, but it was a little too raunchy for him, was sort of how I felt.
I spent a lot of time looking at her extensions. How bad? Not her leg extensions.
Oh, yeah. Like
hair extensions.
Yeah, her look was a little rough. I would say that it was more in line with, like, a Pussycat Dolls, like, pop type of person, which isn't a bad look, but it wasn't necessarily jiving with the ballroom dance aspect of everything. So, yeah. Pretty messy. And then I forget what everyone else said. So I wrote down that Julianne loved her and feels like she's empowering women. And I felt the exact opposite. I get what she's saying. I get it.
Like, letting herself be sexual is all.
Yes. Which I do definitely thumbs up.
But there's a difference between like sexual and gross. Like
raunch. Yeah. And like porn.
Porny.
It was just too
porny
much for me. And like maybe
word.
Yeah, like maybe that, yeah, porny. Like not exactly porn, but a little porny.
Yeah.
A little corny, a little porn. Porn-esque. And I felt like Bruno was like trying to compare her dance to like Caligula. Just like super like a whorehouse, just like very like a harem and things like that. And I don't know if that was the right comparison, but that was definitely the feeling that I got.
Yeah.
And, you know, Carrie Ann, as per usual, was spot on that she exudes confidence, but needs to work on her moves and bring out some elegance. This is ballroom dance.
It's like the key piece of advice to give to Erica Jane, like more elegance. Like next, yeah. As soon as somebody says class, we're just like out of here.
Oh my god, yeah, for sure. And I felt like, yeah. Is she a thing, though? Are people into her? Are they obsessed with her? What's going on with this?
I've never heard of her before.
No, me neither. All right, cool.
I'm sure we could do research. I'm sure there are people who love her. Like, she's probably like a gay icon or something in some sort of weird subsection. I don't know.
Anyway, moving on. Emma and Rashad. Now, this was like the dance of the night, from what I'm hearing.
So I'm really interested in this because I mean, obviously he was delightful and I love Emma.
Good.
I'm so excited that she has a contender.
Yes, I would say that was my hot take. That was my like takeaway from this.
Absolutely.
Good for Emma.
I also love that she's talking about things like don't want Sasha to get jealous. And I'm like, this guy could like smush Sasha with his thumb.
Oh, but my like, God.
I love the Bruno Mars song because I love all things Bruno Mars. But
yeah,
I think this was actually a little overgraded.
Like, yeah, I agree with that.
3/8 on
that was too
first
much.
Episode. Like, he was a nice surprise, but like, let's chill out a little bit, guys.
And I like that Bruno said he was cool as a cucumber the whole time, because I did feel like that sort of emphasized what they saw in him was that he was very relaxed. Like, he came across as somebody who's done this a million times. So I think that confidence really played through well. In my opinion, the dance moves were pretty run of the mill. Like, and I mean, Julianne says that she's her winner pick, which I don't think Julianne's allowed to say. But I think that they took it a little far. I mean, Len was like, got ahead of the music, but you were good, you know, but I feel like it was good. I like him. I feel like I don't want to overplay it, though, because they clearly did overplay it.
Yeah. Totally.
But
Emma looks so happy to have him, and I'm just so happy for her. She's so fun.
And he had like such good rhythm and such quick feet. And I really liked that she let him wear gold shoes, because I feel like that was a really bold move. Because I feel like when they wear the lighter shoes, it means that they're not afraid to hide their footwork, which was kind of fun.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like Emma is going to, I feel like they'll go far. They'll probably be in the finals, guessing from the judges' picks. But I think that Emma in general is a fan favorite. So anyone that she's partnered with, like, they usually go pretty far unless they're terrible, terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
They usually go a couple weeks further than their talent suggests they should. So she's got somebody who's actually talented. That 2 week bump should send her straight to the finals when it might have been like a, you know, top six. Yeah.
And he clearly has potential. So I feel like I liked what he said, too, that he was that he likes to pick up a new craft in the off season from the NFL. So I found that kind of admirable that this is like what he wants to learn this off season. I mean, if we were also lucky to learn ballroom dance, you know, in our off seasons, that would be great.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, certainly like this would be the coolest. Like if I was ever a big enough star to do anything, my I would like mark my stardom by whether I got an invitation to be on Dancing with the Stars, because that to me is like the ultimate goal of stardom.
Like I would go on a reality TV competition just so I could be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, oh, exactly. It's the goal. Like it would be so much fun. It's
which
the
is probably
only reality
why
show
we're podcasting about this.
Like it's the only reality show I think I would go on. Only one.
I don't even know. I haven't even thought about anything else. I just always, maybe when I was younger, I was like, if I was only 2 inches taller, I could be on America's Next Top Model. But that's not the only reason I wouldn't be on America's Next Top Model. But, so, 10-year-old me.
Off topic, but really quick, because we're running really long. But like, if you were to go on Dancing with the Stars, because I've given this a lot of thought, who would you want to be your partner?
Derek.
Easy.
Yeah, I feel like I would want either him or Mark, just because I feel like they would push you really hard, like Mark Ballas.
But Mark's really kind as well.
Yes, that's the thing. I probably would go more Mark than Derek, because Derek seems to get a little like gets a temper tantrum sometimes, whereas I feel like if Mark gets frustrated, he's like, it's okay, we're just gonna keep going. Mm-hmm. And like I need that because I'm gonna have temper tantrums, like I'm gonna get frustrated with myself, so I need somebody to calm me.
Right, but you have a really good dance background, so you'd be a front runner, so you could
hopefully
handle, like a Derek
probably not, though.
But you could handle
my
like
old age, Kelly. In my old age, I can't remember the dance moves.
You know what I mean, though? Like you want. So I've thought about this. I'm like, OK, so, well, I'm too tall for both Derek and Mark, which is
they're short.
Setting
I'm 5'7", which isn't.
No, tall. I feel like you could still do. I'm 5'10", so I'd need like frigging Keo or whatever. But you're right. So I was thinking about it. And like if I felt really confident, I would want Derek because I'd want to win, or Val because he's actually my favorite. But if I was feeling a little insecure, first I'd go
Val.
Mark, because Mark's the best best balance of all of them. Yeah. But he's the best balance of them all. But he is really short and he almost never wins. But if I was really insecure about it, I'd want Tony Dovolani because he's
the that's what I was gonna say. I love Tony.
Yeah, he never wins. He's kind of a terrible choreographer, but he's really comforting to the people who are terrified. And I think that's the key.
Yeah, he's great. I love Tony. I kind of miss him. Yeah. When him and his dad were on, that was the best. That was amazing.
We should really talk about, speaking of like the older people who Mr. haven't been on in a couple seasons, Kim is back
fool.
And she's got Mr. T. My big takeaway with him was he's surprisingly really small, right? Did you think he was really small?
Teeny.
He's so
like a little
small.
Nugget. Honestly, I haven't
really
seen
sweet.
Mr. T. Yeah, I haven't seen or heard from him in quite some time, and he's been doing a lot of charity work, and that's really awesome, and I'm really rooting for him because I feel like he had an amazing personality that was unexpected, but his dance was rough.
I actually thought it was better than I expected, because Kim
he's very heavy. Yeah, they just marched a lot. He was very heavy. He was lumbering through it, but I really loved that he said a few times that like he's really trying, and that's all he wanted was to just like to do his best and like show everyone that he could, and like show the youth that he mentors that he is, you know, he's doing something out of his comfort zone. So I was proud of him for that. They all hated his technique. But they felt like the effort was good, and I feel like Tom pointed out that this was something I liked that Tom did, that he pointed out that he said that he was nervous, and he liked that because not everyone has the guts to come out there and be like, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
There wasn't a lot to Mr. T, right? Like, mostly I thought he was small, which really shocked me. And he's really, I thought he was so sweet.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, there isn't super a ton to it. He was trying. He was nervous. He was stompy.
They saluted a lot.
I thought Kim navigated it really well. I'm surprised they didn't. Mm-hmm. She didn't get more comments about the lack of content because there was no content in there. But it was obviously strategic. And I thought she navigated the fact that she had Mr. T really well.
Yeah.
And he seems to be trying really hard. And I thought he was sweet. And I gave him a 5.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I felt like he had a good attitude, but you know, the choreography and the technique just wasn't there. So we shall see. I feel like he sort of falls up there, you know, with Chris. So I'm not sure which one will be going home. I imagine Chris, but
he was so much more likable than Chris though.
Yes, exactly. Like, Chris was just such a bummer.
Yeah.
Speaking of someone who's not a bummer, Mike's winner pick and most likely the winner of season 24, Simone Biles. They clearly saved her till the end. They used to do this with Derek. Derek was partnered with would go last because they knew they would keep people watching.
But I'm so excited for Sasha because, like, no way.
Yes. Before,
like, he did a really good job with Tara Jolet, and that was clearly he, like, really won over the producers because for him, I mean, yes, I know he's height appropriate, but they Val's pretty tall and they gave Lori to Val. So they can give her to anybody, and they gave her to Sasha. And she, like, for someone who's a total middle of the pack or even lower end of the pack pro, to get someone like this that's gonna catapult him minimum to the top three, that's so exciting for him. And I thought he did a great job with the choreo, and they're both coming off so well. Like, they're so delightful. And I gotta say, my favorite thing is when the, like, young ones get really giggly about things, like the boy part of it. And Sasha was like, "This is the first time you've looked into a boy's eyes," and I just died. That was the cutest thing.
And Sasha's just so, he's so funny without being offensive. Like, he's not like, "You're a little girl," you know, like how Val is. It's just like, he's just like, "We're having fun." It's like, but I think that all the judges just overall were really impressed with her ability to transfer those gymnastics techniques to the dance, because I think that that's been a struggle in the past. We've seen it, you know, with the first dance with any of the gymnasts, that they sometimes can, like, flounder a little bit, sort of trying to make it elegant and sort of move and things like that. So I really liked her. Yeah. I honestly didn't have the expectation that I came away with from this episode. My expectation going was that she'd be really good, but I think that I sort of forgot how likable she is as a human. So now that I've remembered, I'm pretty stoked.
I'm not really seeing a ton of her personality yet. Like, she's just not as sparkly as Lori to me. But again, you can't always see all of that in the first week. There wasn't really anyone who stood out huge in terms of personality other than Nick. And that's because I know Nick already.
And we're in love. I mean, true love. Yeah. Lasts forever.
I thought Simone was lovely, and I thought her dance was incredible. And my main takeaway from her actually was that with the gymnasts traditionally, but even in their final routines, like at the end of the season with both Sean Johnson and Lori Hernandez, I felt like they were really stiff, especially through the shoulders, because they're so strong and they have such big shoulders being gymnasts.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they've never, even when they were at their top of their game dance wise, I never felt like they were totally fluid. And Simone to me looked like a dancer more than a gymnast.
She was much more. And so maybe she's
amazing.
Yeah. And since, like, the Olympics, maybe she's been doing some, like, bodybuilding in more of the dancing routine. So that that could be a thing, too. We actually had a question related to Simone, just to sort of transition into those. Which partnership was the most adorable, and why was it Simone and Sasha? And that was Amber Nielsen, which I thought was just a funny question because she answered her own question. But I sort of agreed with Amber. I thought that maybe it's because they wrapped up the show, but I thought that they were super cute.
Yeah, they were super cute. I'm really happy for Sasha. I didn't used to like him very much. And now,
me neither.
In the last two seasons, I've totally come around. He was great with Tara. Emma's endorsement really gives him a big boost.
It really does.
I'm I'm totally on board with like rooting for Sasha at this point. I mean, you know, my heart lies.
When they dance, though, I do feel like his face is really annoying. So I'll sort of.
I kind of agree, but that's so mean. But also, I totally agree.
Like, he just makes very interesting, like, expressions that are a little weird.
He's also, I will say, he's the only one of the guys who's not super cute. Which is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own.
I know that
we have not too much time left, but I'd love to just hit upon some questions. So Kelly, do you have some questions? We definitely posted on the Rehab patron group this week, as well as on the Facebook page, and we trolled Twitter a bit, and I'm sure we will have more next week, and we'll definitely fly through things a little quicker and get more time for the questions, but just a few this week just to see if anyone has any interesting points for us to discuss.
Well, you know, a lot of them we did actually talk about in the sort of course so of the episode already. We talked about, you know, who was overscored, who we felt was underscored, who some of our favorite partnerings are, how crazy Charo is, all that kind of stuff. We had a bunch of questions about Bonner, Handgate, all that kind of stuff. So really, we only have one maybe question that really still left to be answered, which is Edward Morris wants to know, after seeing their first dances, who are now your winner picks and who is your first boot?
Oh, this is so hard because I feel like my first boot is, I don't remember who I said. Do you remember who I said?
Mr. T, maybe?
Mr. T, but I think my first boot is clearly now Chris. And I think that my winner pick, I'm sticking with Heather because I feel like I need to root for her. But I do feel like the Sasha Simone group duo is going to do really well. And I'm also rooting for Emma and Rashad to do well just because I love Emma. But I mean, I got to stick with my girl Heather.
Yeah, I'm going to go with I think you're right with Chris for first boot. But although I will say backup so to Charo,
because she cray,
she's crazy. And I don't know how the fans are going to react to that.
She's probably going to like injure herself because she's like bouncing off the walls. True.
She is one of the more likely options for a medical issue. Just because she's crazy and she's going to like flip over or something, like break her neck. Not break her neck, because then you can never dance again, Chris Kattan. So winner pick, I'm going to I like to stay with my winner pick, because the worst thing is when you pick someone, then move off of them, like lose the faith, and then they end up winning in the end. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's a bad feeling. So I feel you got to stick with it.
But my winner pick is so bad. I'm thinking maybe Rashad and Emma. I really want to root for Emma. I just have a problem with two gymnasts back to back. I don't know why. Like, I love that pairing. But I just can't wrap my head around like the same. Like, for a while in the early series, we were getting a lot of football players back to back. And that was just starting to annoy me. I would start like anytime you get so and so will definitely win.
Yeah,
that bothers me.
And I know diddly squat about football, so I felt like it was really hard for me to root for somebody that like I didn't really have, that wasn't really passionate about.
Although I will say, once you've seen them on Dancing with the Stars, if you have to watch a football game for some reason, like I don't remember what team he plays for now, but the Antonio Brown, I was watching one of the like major football games of the year he was playing, and he was so good on Dancing with the Stars that I was just thank you, Sharna, for making me like this or pay attention to this football.
That's really
game.
Funny, because I feel like I wouldn't have been able to pick up on who was who. So
good to know.
All right. We have one more question that I thought was kind of interesting from Allison Giancola. There were a lot of cha-chas. Any idea how they assign the dances in the first round?
Literally no idea.
Yeah, so I didn't have any idea, but I was just thinking that I would like to hypothesize that they choose the dances based off of their abilities, because I like to think that they chose a waltz for Nancy Kerrigan because that's the most like similar to an ice dance. And then like they chose the cha-cha for Charo because she's like Charo. And I also feel like there were a lot of cha-chas, but that's because that's probably the easiest dance.
Yeah, I really don't know. And do they pick their own dances? Or is there like, are they assigned?
Do not pick their own dances. They're always assigned. I don't know how they assign the first dances, though, whether they have some input or not. You know, moving forward, they're clearly picked per theme and they're given them randomly. So, yeah, I think that there's probably a little bit of a like an influence from the pro just saying like, hey, if we can have a cha-cha, that'd be great. And then they'd be like, you're assigned a cha-cha, you know, like a little bit of both. Yeah. So I mean, that was an interesting question. I'd love to hear if any of our listeners have any sort of behind the scenes, you know, info like that, that we might not be aware of. I always love to hear that stuff.
Yeah. I have no idea how this show works.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I see and I feel like I have a good idea of how ABC does things. But other than that, I mean, everything that I know I've read on the internet, which isn't always right. So if please feel free to correct us if we have misconstrued opinions about how this show is produced.
Right.
But yeah, do you have any last minute takeaways before we head into our next week?
Not really. I'm just really happy for Nick and his hero edit. Oh,
same.
Let's see. What else? I'm happy for Sasha and for Emma. And I'm so sad for Sharna. And that's what
I know. I know. Poor Sharna. She's being abused.
Her little Chiron really at the bottom of the screen says 3-time finalist. And I'm like, oh,
I know. Ouch. I know. I mean, I don't think that they're not going to go far. I just think it's going to be rough.
Like, oh, it's just, I'm just meaning that like she keeps making it so far. And
yeah, yeah, you're, that's right. And she's so good, too. I even was tweeting with somebody online that we both think that she's the personification of sex. So
she's the best.
She's great. She's just like so enigmatic. And like her dancing is perfect. Anyway, we'll stop gushing about Sharna and wrap things up for this week. I do not know the theme for next week's performances, but I am excited to see all of our dancers back. I don't know how they're going to be structuring this, you know, this season. They always switch it up a little bit. It's so we're not sure what, you know, what will lead off with, whether it will be an elimination or, you know, whether or not we'll have them dance. Sometimes they have that in the middle, sometimes it's at the end. So you know, we'll keep you posted. We'll clearly talk about it next week when we discuss the dances. But definitely send us your questions after the episode next week. We will post a thread on the Facebook page and you can always tweet them at us. Kelly, what is your Twitter handle? Where can people find you?
So my Twitter handle is at myentworld, which is actually my company's name. I run a website called myentertainmentworld.ca.com. It's a whole other thing. Our Twitter handle is my ent world. And I just run the Twitter. So it's all of like we tweet out our articles there. But it's also just like all of my thoughts on Survivor. And I'll try and live tweet the Dancing with the Stars episodes. But again, I usually watch things on a bit of a delay. So I skip commercials. So it's not quite the same thing. But I'll try and keep up with that. And I try to engage with people who tweet at me there. So do that and I will get back to you.
Awesome.
And I don't have any other Snapchat, Instagram, or anything like that.
That's fine. That's fair. You can find me on Twitter at Ange Palagi. So it's ANGPALAGGI. And that is my maiden name for anyone who cares. I know it's long. And you can also find me on Instagram at the same handle. So yeah, just let us know your thoughts. We're excited to be here. And we look forward to talking with you guys next week. Have a good one. Bye.
All right, bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.